So I heard Brother Kenny say, and others during this weekend, it's all about Jesus. And I'm thankful that we've been able to look to him. That's a little phrase that always brings to mind my Billy Graham Crusade Choir practice. We practiced at the Flushing Meadows Park in one of the tennis stadiums. That's how the choir was so big, they had to practice in a stadium. And the directors were out there on the tennis court practicing with us. But anyway, when we came in the downstairs, we collected our music. And I was, I must have been at least in my 50s by then. And this little young thing, she must have been at most 18, she handed me my music and she said, "Don't forget, honey, it's all about Jesus." and that always brings that to mind. I just didn't know what to say back to her. I guess I said amen. We're going to have a good time. Or something like that. But, well, it's a memory. It's all about Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I'd like you to take your Bibles and let's open to John chapter 21. Here's a question that's not in the Tenney book, and it's not in our devotional book, but it's in John 21. And since we've been in that chapter now a bit, I'd just like to look at it with you. It's in verse 22, and it's a question that answered Peter's question, "Lord, what shall this man do?" Jesus had been dealing with Peter, and then Peter was interested in what his dealings were going to be with John. "Lord, what shall this man do?" And Jesus said, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. In our church, each year, our pastor will look for a text that he feels the Lord is impressing him with as a theme verse or a guiding light for at least the beginning of the year, but we try to stick with it then through the year. And I remember either the year before, it wasn't his last New Year's text, I remember that one clearly from Psalm 5, but either the year before or the year before that, so 67 or 68, Uncle Hans, that's Hans Waldvogel, who founded this camp, he chose this verse, and just this part, "What is that to thee? Follow thou me." And so we had it in front of us all year. "What is that to thee? Follow thou me." I was telling Brother Kenny at the table this morning that Sister Lucy Petraca, who was related to you, great aunt. We loved Sister Lucy Petraca. Anybody here remember Lucy? Anyway, she, say that again. Glory, right? She loved Jesus, and it showed all over her. I remember her coming to church one Wednesday morning and saying, "I love that New Year's text. You want to know what it means? It means mind your own business." And there's a sense in which which this is a very individual thing. It's wonderful that we're together with others on the pilgrim pathway who can encourage us to press on the upward way. That's a wonderful thing. But there's a certain sense in which you're on your own, and that is at least in the stand that you take toward the Lord. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do? It's an individual matter of your heart's stand towards him, or as we had yesterday morning, your heart's affection for the Lord. Lovest thou me? And I really like this chapter 21. Some Bible teachers or scholars say that it was added, and it appears that it was added at the end of chapter 20. That's certainly a closing verse. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. Now that seems to be the ending word, right? And some people think that John may have added this chapter in honor of his fellow disciple, Peter. To show what Jesus did, how Jesus dealt with him, and why not? I don't know the answer to that one, but this chapter is clearly about Jesus' love and Jesus' call to his disciples, and just the response and Peter's response to Christ's gracious dealings with him. And if he wrote that, you know, John lived longer. If he wrote it after Peter died, just to honor him and show how Jesus dealt with him and how clearly and gladly he responded to that dealing. Anybody who knew Peter at that time would have known that was the case. I like that thought. I'm not sure. Sometimes I think, wonder if John wrote, if I were John, I could see myself doing this. This is less noble. But here, look at verse 23. After all this, you know, he wondered if... what this man shall do. And Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Then went this saying abroad, or because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. And that's understandable. I mean, John lived the longest, right? So the rumor spread among the disciples that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? So I'm placing myself in John's shoes. I'm thinking, man, I could have written this whole chapter just to set the record straight about me. But I doubt that. I should say, I doubt that. I'm glad it's here. Aren't you glad this chapter is here? And I'm glad for this closing question, shall I say. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. And it's a consecration question, isn't it? It means, regardless of what anyone else does, I am yours. I will follow you all the way. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your call. And thank you that you help us to respond in that way to you and follow you as we go out from this place. Follow you regardless of what persecutions and trials and whatever comes into our lives as a result of the stand that we take towards you, towards loving you, whether people understand us or misunderstand us or are with us or are against us, whatever, I will follow you. Jesus calls me. I must follow. Follow him today. How can I delay, the song says, while his tender voice is pleading. How can I delay? Follow, I will follow thee, my Lord. Follow every passing day. My tomorrows are all known to thee. Thou wilt lead me all the way. What does that mean? All the way to the cross, yes, but also all the way to glory. Praise the Lord. That's the goal. Eternal glory is the goal that awaits us. Praise the Lord. I went to pray with someone during these 2 weeks, and I was just heading towards him, and this verse popped into my mind, and so I said it as I was praying over them. And this comes from Peter. And he's praying it for the saints. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. When I read that verse, I think of Sister Inez. She was visiting us for the New Year's Eve service. She came and stayed at the Faith Home, and she said, "You're going to like this." And she passes me it was a magazine of the Salvation Army that she received, a periodical. And there was a sermon by Charles Spurgeon, and it was on this text. I think it said a New Year's cordial or something like that. And what a title. Anyway, it was a great blessing to me. It was a real blessing. The God of all grace. So he who calls us to follow him and to take that personal stand for him and to him, that we love him supremely and follow him entirely all the way, gives us grace to do so. Eternal glory is the goal. Well, I told you I was going to. Now, he doesn't have much time left, but, you know, Brother Kenny gave me something that I often feel this way too. I really do. And he says at the end, "I mean that sincerely." He wrote this just to me, but not necessary that I say anything this morning. Maybe you had something on your heart. So I did. And I said it, to end the weekend with, "Feel free, I mean that serious." Oh, sincerely. I mean that sincerely. I often feel that way. It's fine with me. If someone else has the word, it's fine, at least until they start talking. Brother Kenny, come on.
That was good. No problem. Well, there's not much more to say. It was very good. Thank you. That last question that Brother Eddie just spoke about has been a great blessing to me as well, from a little bit of a different angle also. You know, there are different ways of seeing things, and the Lord speaks to us in different ways through the same verse, doesn't he, at different times in our lives. The Lord wanted Peter to get his eyes off of himself when he told him to love, "Do you love me?" And Peter, you know, kept expressing that he did love the Lord, but it was obvious that his love for God was not sufficient, that when the trial came, it appeared that he loved himself more than he loved Christ and preserved his own life, first of all. And the Lord was trying to make Peter to see that your love will never enable you to fulfill. But there is coming a day, Peter, when you will love me more than you love yourself. It's not your own love, but it's the love of the Holy Spirit burning in your heart. It's my love for you, shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, that will enable you to lay down your life for me rather than ever deny me again as you did. And that must have been a blessing to Peter. Disappointment as he looked at his own love for Christ and realized how lacking and how far short it fell. But then to know that Jesus was going to do something for him that would enable him to love him as he really wants to love him and needs to love him. And of course that took place on the day of Pentecost. And as Peter continued to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the love of Christ, not Peter's love, but the love of Christ, burned in his heart and enabled him to be what God had called him to be. And so the Lord needed to help Peter to get his eyes off of himself and get his eyes on Jesus. And then this last question, I think the Lord was trying to help Peter to get his eyes off of others. And that's where we sometimes have a problem too. As Brother Eddie said, it's good to look up to others, and we admire people's walk with God. We admire what God is doing in their lives, and we want to strive to be like them in that respect. I have many people in my life like that. Oh, if I could love Jesus the way that person seems to love him, or if I could give myself to God as that person does and did. We have these people that we speak of, our leaders that have gone before us. We've heard of Hans Waldfogel, Brother Gardner, Brother Edwin. Go right down the list, the Bowers. So many people that I think of often, and they're a constant inspiration to me to be better and to give myself more and to serve the Lord with all my heart as they did. But, you know, we can compare ourselves with others, like the Pharisee compared himself to the publican. You know, I thank God that I'm not like this one, you know, and we can find someone that we don't think is doing so well, and so then we can pat ourselves on the back and say, well, we're not so bad as we may think, you know, at least I'm not doing that, or I'm not like that one. And the Bible says that's not a good thing to do, to compare yourself in that way to others. Our eyes are to be on Jesus, and he is our model, and he is our pattern, the one that we're to follow and to strive to be like. You know, you may be doing better than someone else, but both of you may be doing miserably in God's sight. And so we have to keep our eyes on the Lord and in his word. We have to understand what God wants in our lives. But this other aspect I just wanted to mention, you know, I found out in the 30-something years that we've been involved in ministry, God leads people in very different ways. In the path that he has chosen for their life, for their ministry. And there are times when you can question, Lord, how come that person has this and I don't? How come you're using that person this way and not me? And you can begin to question those things. And if you're not careful, you can even begin to envy people for what God has given them, or how he has provided or led them. And that's not good either. What is that to thee? You follow me. I have my own call over your life. One may be called to go to a mission field and suffer and live a life of depredation. And others may be called to own a house and two cars in the garage and go on vacation 6 times a year. And, you know, how is it that, you know, one has been given all this and the other has a harder path to follow, it seems. But we see that Jesus has an individual call over every life. And you have to know what God has called you to and be faithful, as we heard. Brother Wade talked about faithfulness. And what does it matter? What does it matter what he gives or how he calls someone else or how he uses someone else? That doesn't take away anything from you. God has his own call over your life. And if you're faithful, God will bless and reward you. And God will use you to be a blessing. And that's what we have to concentrate on. Lord, what is your call for me? It won't be the same as others. And that's okay. It's very personal. It's very intimate. When you formed me in my mother's womb, you knew my days. You had them all numbered. As I grew up, the life experiences that you brought me through were not without significance. You know, I'm not Brother Eddie. I could never be Brother Eddie. Brother Eddie could not be me. He'd have to forget half the things he ever learned in his life just to get close. I'm not Brother Ernie. I'm not Brother Keith. We can go right down the list. We're all so different, aren't we? And, you know, my life didn't start when I got involved in the Ridgewood Fellowship. I got saved in an Assembly of God church out on Long Island. I learned to play guitar instead of the violin. You have to just be who God made you to be, you know. And you waste a lot of time, and I did waste a lot of time trying to be like this one or that one. And it took some time, and I'm still getting there, trying to find to be myself in the Lord. And, you know, you hear of, like, David trying to put on Saul's armor. You know, he took two steps, and the armor moved one. It was no good. But he knew how to use a stone and a sling. And when he drew from his experience and the training that God gave him, and he let himself be what God wanted him to be, that's when God was able to put his power upon him and use him in such a wonderful way for God's glory. And so we have to do that. We have to let each other be who they are in the Lord, and not try to force Saul's armor on them, make them someone other than they really are. And then we have to let people go whatever way God calls them, and support that, pray for them, bless them, and then follow the path that God has chosen for you. And so what is that to thee? Get your eyes off yourself. You'll never find any love in your own heart that's going to ever be worthy of the Lord. That has to come from him. Get your eyes on Jesus. And get your eyes off of others. Just follow him and the path that he has called you to. And be what he wants you to be every moment of every day. And so that's what I got out of those verses. And it's been a great help to me. Just to be what I can be for the Lord, or what he can make of me. And it's all about Jesus, right? Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderfulness, and the
So Peter, stop looking at yourself, stop looking at others, look to me. Praise the Lord. So we're coming right around to our theme, turn your eyes upon Jesus. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Hallelujah. Yes. We're looking at our great Savior. I can't help but remember one of the Chinese conferences, and it was again time to say goodbye. Life is full of goodbyes. And we were walking down the road here to a bus that had come in to take them away to their different destinations. They have it all planned. I mean, they put the people that go to Kennedy Airport in the very back, and the people that go to LaGuardia here, and they're very organized, and the people that get off in Albany, and so that they were loading the bus, and there was a dear brother, really, really fun and great brother, preacher from California, and he was here with his wife, and. And as we were walking down together, he was telling me what a wonderful wife he has. And he was just praising his wife. So when we got to the door of the bus and it was time for him to go on, I said to him, "It's been such a pleasure meeting you, Brother Tim." And she was standing right there. And I said, "And your lovely wife." I mean, I was just, you know, kind of semi teasing or referring to what he was saying, you know, "Such a pleasure meeting you and your lovely wife." I looked right at her and he said, "Keep your eyes on Jesus." So that's just another way we can learn our lessons, right? And want to keep our eyes on Jesus all the time. And I thank him for the light and for the life that he is and that he has imparted to us in these days. Number 23. Oh, this is the hymn book, Our Great Savior. Stand as we sing.
Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. Jesus, what a guide and leader, what a tremendous sin is I. Oh, the land me rides or takes me, be my pilot, here's my bride. Jesus, I do now receive Him more than all. In Him I find He hath granted me forgiveness. I am His and He is mine. Savior, hallelujah, what a friend, saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Hallelujah. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our eyes are upon You, Lord. Our hope is in You. Our expectation is from You, Lord. As we go from this place, we keep our eyes on You, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, what a Savior. Say it with me. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Oh, Jesus, we thank You. Precious Jesus, we thank You. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Glory to Jesus. Oh, glory to Jesus. You put Your benediction on this weekend, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior, what a Savior. Oh, we love You, Lord. Praise and thank You, Lord. Wonderful Jesus, wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And Sister Chris told us we can take Him with us, right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You. Oh, thank You, Lord. I'd like to ask Sister Lillian Petfield to pray with us in closing, please.
Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we are so thankful. Hallelujah. We are so thankful for Your great love to us.
Amen.
Your mercy and for Your goodness.
Yes.
And Lord, what we have learned that You are the answer to all our questioning.
Yes.
Perhaps something that we knew, but Lord, it had to be reinforced.
Yes.
And we thank You for that, Father.
Right.
We thank You that You know the past, the present, and the future.
Yes.
And we thank You, Lord, that You will go with each one of us,
yes,
Lord,
yes,
on our different pathways, Heavenly,
yes,
Father, that You will lead and guide us, Lord, and help us to trust in You, for our faith to grow in You and to be deeper in You, Father. Bless each one here. Lord, yes. Bless them. I pray for favor and for blessing upon each one.
Yes.
And that you shall lead and guide and undertake in every circumstance, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you in thy precious holy name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. So God bless you, everyone. Don't forget the boathouse open now till lunch, and then after lunch again, the store is open. We are having our meal at 12 o'clock. Thank you.
Did we sing the song?
Yes, at this one.